Let me tell you about a man that I have met. They call him Captain, a wizard, don't forget. CJ Morgan's his name, and he wanted to start a show. So we did. Now you're listening to him on that dang old radio.
Great news, gentlemen. I've done it. I've made it. I'm an official Smeltman.
Oh, you look
at
that.
Yeah, look at that. Feel that.
Whoa, man.
I want to feel it.
Yeah, it feels great in your hand, even though I messed it up.
So this is an ingot made of aluminum.
Yep, it's a little ingot of aluminum. Wow.
Look at how blobby it looks, too. It looks like you kind of like just pooed a bunch of metal out.
Well,
I like it.
Here's what happened.
Hey, baby's first creation is going to be a little sloppy, you know?
Absolutely. Well, so...
I like that it at least looks like it resembles an ingot. If you don't know what an ingot is, it's a little bar of metal.
Yeah, if you've seen bars of gold, essentially that's what they call ingots. It's much smaller than that. You might have seen little things of silver, but
this top part does look a little bit of diarrhea that squirted out.
I'll explain why. I've been melting aluminum in my backyard the last couple of days, and yesterday had my first successful pour after hours of letting it cook.
Did you take any
this is like a party's worth of aluminum cans over. This is a lot.
Yeah,
this is, and it's very small. I mean, you can hold it in your hand.
Solid.
Speaking of hold it in your hand, man, Matt, I know you've done some metal work and stuff. It is so tempting to touch things with your hands.
Don't. It's hot.
Well, no, I don't. And I have the gloves for, I have welding gloves for this. And even you don't want to use those to touch and pick up things. But it's still like, you
it
want
looks
to.
So pretty. You're like, I don't kind of want to touch that liquid metal.
My aluminum pour messed up a little bit because the tongs weren't... quite as thick as I needed to handle the crucible. Look at me using the terminology. But I was pouring the metal into the mold like a pitcher of water into a glass, and there's a lot of slag, which is just all the crap at the top that, you know, burns off from the paint on the cans or ashes or whatever.
Impurities.
And it was just hard to do. It kept tipping over. So it's not a perfect one, but it's a really good start. And
it looks really good. Also, if you were to hammer that out a little bit and then run it through a mill, you'd be fine.
Yeah, you could have it good. Even though I did learn, recycling centers, they don't take ingots of aluminum.
It's so weird.
Yeah, they only take scrap. Well, because they know what's in scrap. This, they don't know what's in it, and they don't know how to actually.
Like, test it.
They don't buy the bars, essentially.
Be like, we're going to have to remelt this and test it to figure
out.
Well,
scrap places don't even melt it. They sell it to melters, and they sell, like, bulk scrap to people, so they don't even have a price for it. So this is, it's only worth stuff to us.
You know that fish that's called, there's a type of fish called smelt? Did you know it's made out of all aluminum?
Melted stuff? Yeah, well, that's because the chemtrails are spraying the aluminum. That's why there's so much of it.
Now, how cool would it be if in a post-apocalyptic landscape, everyone thinks that they're supposed to hoard gold, but aluminum becomes the most sought-after thing?
Because maybe it's kind of more usable?
What are we going to use gold for?
Well, gold's malleable. It conducts electricity, so you can actually... You can take a hammer. Maybe. Who knows? Because in the apocalypse, the solar flare's going to knock it all out.
That's true.
But I'm excited. And I finally, when I took this inside to my girlfriend, she was like, okay, yeah. And I was like, no, hold it. And she's like, ow, it cut me. And I was like, oh, yeah, I got to sand it.
Now, did you take any footage? Did you record
a little bit? Yeah, put it up on my Instagram at the CJ Morgan. But I did get told that all right, enough's enough for now.
Oh, really? Mama said, okay, stop burning down the backyard.
Well, 2 days of everything smelling like campfire.
When's the next time she's going to be out of town?
That's what I'm waiting for.
I don't think she even cares about herself. I think what happens is she knows that she is the newest family in the neighborhood. And she knows that all the neighbors are looking over the fence going, oh, wait, did we have nut jobs move in next to us?
Right.
The guy with the medieval suit right
really
in front of his house.
Just a dad suit of armor in front of your house. And you've been in your backyard building a...
Metal.
A metal still.
A foundry, as we'll call it.
I don't know about that, but it's a startup.
Hey, you know what? One day, like you said, Spencer...
And I'm proud of you.
When the apocalypse happens and no one has aluminum to... hammer into foil to cover their apocalyptic potluck.
I mean, how long did you stick with the stained glass projects you were doing? Because I never saw any of your stained glass.
I still mess with that.
Yeah?
Yeah, a little bit.
At least you brought something in.
How long did you stick with your painting stuff?
I still mess with that a little bit.
How long did you stick with... I'm trying to
Here's
think of
the problem with all this art crap is it just stacks up, and Christmas is already gone.
Unlike the aluminum ingots that you'll find plenty of use for.
Just you wait. 101X. One of the greatest medical innovations in history. Today's the greatest because it's Little Red Wagon Day, which we've talked about before. But I'm talking about that Little Red Rocket. On this day in history, the FDA officially approved Viagra. Yay. Congratulations.
We did it.
March 27th, 1998. It's an oral medication that treats impotence. Oh, it's called sildenafil, the chemical name for Viagra. It's an artificial compound that was originally synthesized and studied to treat hypertension, high blood pressure, and things that, you know, involve cardiovascular disease. And at some point, they noticed all their test subjects were getting boners.
Yay!
So
they're not called boners.
I know.
They're called erections.
Erections is the proper...
diving boards.
Meat rockets.
Boings.
Yes, all those things.
Pork... What did we call them the other
day? We got to be careful. This is a medical learning part of the show.
Skin flute.
Mm. Yeah. Trouser trout. Pant pike. Slack salmon.
There we go. We got them excited.
Duck sausage.
Pork ingot?
Yeah, sure. Why not? But anyhow, it came to be around 1996 was when they patented it.
Sorry.
It says... Hey, come on, man. Enough.
Thank you for paying attention to me, Matt.
You know, they...
Let's slip that one in there.
We have to be serious about it.
Hey.
Come on, man.
Come on, what?
Hey.
Oh, it's over.
Zip it up.
Just don't get caught in there.
This isn't
the skin.
This isn't going to fly.
Okay. Tell us more about what you know.
It really feels worried. Like this is all coming to a head.
Guys, y'all know someone was fired for making fun of Viagra. Whoa. In this building.
They got the shaft?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we're not making fun of Viagra. At all.
And well, it sounds
like... No one has made fun of Viagra.
Yeah,
we're making puns for boners.
that's
doing, my friend.
But you never know. The Pfizer might hear it. And,
you think they're going to come for us?
Yeah, you know, we're gonna get chopped off.
Oh, man, that's nuts.
Yeah.
I hope we don't get sacked.
that's what's going to happen.
We're only 2 minutes into this segment. How much longer do you think we can perform?
Well, I don't know, but 2 minutes is pretty good. I thought we'd have done 30 seconds ago.
Oh, man.
With Viagra, you can perform much longer than 2 minutes, though.
Woo!
Let's be serious. Come on, guys. This is a big deal.
Well, now I don't even want to read it. I just thought it was interesting because the chemists at Pfizer, the pharmaceutical company. The Fartists. They found out it had little effect on any of the heart medication.
Right.
It didn't work.
It didn't.
So
it
they
did,
thought they had a bunk pill. That's when they discovered it could induce penile erections, typically within 30 to 60 minutes.
Oh,
never taken one. I'd like to try it sometime, but I remember in college I had a buddy that did it, and someone took him to the minor emergency room.
Oh, was it lasted for too long?
No, he was like drinking and probably doing other stuff, and then took one as a joke, and then was like, "Oh, I feel like I'm having a heart attack or something." I don't know exactly what happened.
It does say very clearly on those bottles, "Hey, don't get super hammered and then take one of these."
Yeah,
it very clearly says, "Hey, don't."
Now, is it a blood thinner or a blood thicker?
Neither. It actually is a vasodilator.
So it helps it flow?
Yes.
Okay. Now, does it make you automatically grow, or do you have to, like, think about it?
Well, some of us aren't growers or showers.
Sure, sure. But
not me, but...
Say if you take one and you're just kind of hanging out, like... Nothing.
Why would you take this just to chill with the bros?
I don't know.
I think some pill heads.
Is
out
it going
to
happen right away, or do you have to be like getting excited for it to start working?
I don't know.
And if it didn't work, is your fist going to like clench up?
No. It's not like that. You don't even really feel that different.
Okay.
So I hear.
Well, you know what? We'll find out. Gentlemen, check out what I brought to work today.
Oh, my God. Hey. Are you serious?
And I'm going to Tosh.0 it and turn some nudies on the TV.
Yes. Sometimes being boring is exactly the point.
It's time for Parent Pickup.
It's the Parent Pickup with Matt Bearden, who can be quite boring at times. But sometimes not. Let's learn.
I know you're both young and, CJ, you're not exactly single. You're also not fully married, don't have kids yet. Spencer out there sowing his wild oats, having a blast. And I'm sure sometimes you guys look at me, I'm a married guy. I probably seem a lot older than I am. And I know what it is that when you're young...
It's just a cane.
When you're young, the greatest fear you have is that your life could become boring. But for today's parent pickup, I wanted to share with you a whole thread that I found on Reddit. People sharing the stuff that they thought would be boring that's absolutely excellent.
Oh, great. Awesome. Sober parents telling us, trying to pretend things aren't boring. Well, let's do it.
They're not pretending. And I'm going to tell you that you two will find everything I'm talking about right now boring.
I don't know.
But guess what?
I'm excited.
All the parents in the pickup line that this is for are going to go, yeah. Yeah, I get
okay.
it.
Okay, nice.
I get
it. I'm excited to hear about these boring things. I feel like recently I've become more boring, so I hope that some of these activities are things I'm picking up.
Here we go. The one person says, one of the best things about life right now is getting good produce. Slicing into an avocado at just the moment it's perfectly ripe is amazing. Guess what? That is 100% true.
I agree.
You got to get an avocado. They're not quite ripe. You got to set it out on the counter, maybe put it next to a banana. And then, is it a day? Is it a day and a half? Does it need 2 days? But if you get it right when it's perfectly ripe, it's a real accomplishment.
So this is one of those, things in life.
I've been doing that with pears recently. I'm like, you got to get them, and then you got to wait.
And a pear's the hardest, dude.
I know,
guess
I noticed.
What? The reward couldn't be any better.
Oh, so
you
sweet.
You have to let it ripen all the way before you put it in the fridge, or it won't ripen.
You're
but
right.
Also, you can't eat it at room temperature. A cold pear?
That's even better.
I don't have the patience for any of this, so what else is not boring?
Can I tell you right now that a perfectly cold, perfectly ripe pear is better, well, I think, than anything.
Now, speaking of boring, I'm proud of you both and myself for not making any jokes about pears, about peanut jokes, allergies. We care about people's allergies. What's not boring, Matt?
Do you know what a pear is?
Yeah, a pear is not a peanut.
Go ahead. Proceed.
A pair of what?
A pair of what?
Proceed. What else is not boring? Like the show.
This person says, hey, the 14-year-old me is probably rolling her eyes like, what the F is wrong with you? But the Shark vacuum I got so cheap on Black Friday, it's absolutely the best. And I got to say that something like, dude, vacuuming, I hated when I was a kid. That was one of my chores I had to do, and man, I despised it. God, I hated vacuuming.
Okay, if you say mowing, I get it. But
it's
I liked mowing
thing.
When I was young, too.
Yeah,
sure.
When you get all the perfect lines, vacuum marks in your carpet, it's a really... I think a lot of it has to do with just it's organization in your life. And
I
when
think
you
so.
Have kids... all organization goes out the window.
Yeah, so when you get little things... I'll agree, but my caveat's mowing. I mowed the yard the other day and I didn't need to.
Well,
I just dropped it down to a one.
Don't you guys still have Todd, your robot vacuum?
No, he hit a pile of pepperoni's stool and I cleaned it out and I think I got the circuit board wet. I took it all the way apart.
I'm sorry, man.
So it's been in like reboot mode for a month.
Rest in peace, Todd.
Yeah, it was the second time it happened.
Rest in poop.
I don't have any carpet anymore, but the Swiffer is the same thing. You just do the lines and...
Feels good, doesn't it?
It does feel good.
I want to do other lines.
My fear was always that I'd be out of those lines or that life wouldn't... It still has joy that it can bring you. This is one of them. Speaking of organizing, this one person said, the Container Store is just as exciting as a theme park now.
Dude, since I've been cooking and stuff more, I'm like, I need, this is containers for all types of things,
yeah.
Right? I've been looking at Tupperware. I'm like, I got to get stuff that's big enough for certain things. It's
and
exciting
Tupperware
to
that
me.
Fits within Tupperware.
And then stuff that can stack when they're not being used.
I'm an aspirational organizer. I could go and see all that stuff and go, my God, I really want this. I won't use it. I've learned that about myself, that it's just going to end up in a messy drawer or something. Thing. But have you ever gone to IKEA and they have one of those rooms where they're like, live happily in 300 square feet.
And the stuff's put away really
and
nice.
It's so perfect.
Yeah.
And I go, oh my God, I could live like this. And you're right, I could live like that.
But
if
not
someone
with other
came
people,
in
yeah.
and organized it every single day
right,
for
right.
me.
Sure.
The
Same.
One thing they don't show is what my place would look like with underwear and socks on the floor,
yep.
my boots in the corner, four or five bowls from where I had cereal and left them out. It doesn't look nearly as nice then.
How many more do we have on this? Because I feel like I want to make my list of things that seem boring but aren't as an adult and come back and expand on it.
Let's do that. I will tell you this, that the list probably has 400 things in it. I just picked out a couple that kind of made me go, yeah, I guess that's something I like now.
Well,
and I know that the young me that had a mohawk.
His eye rolling. It's skateboarding.
And a mohawk and a skateboard and a bunch of punk rock patches all in his army jacket. I know that guy had no interest whatsoever in going to the Container Store.
Who cares about produce,
yeah,
bro?
Yeah, but you know what?
This dude now, yeah, loves a perfectly good... Oof, when you nail a tomato, woo!
Guys,
what's up, players?
I was eye-rolling at the start of this segment, and then I realized how I told y'all I spent my Sunday driving around collecting firewood in the neighborhood and then stacking it. I loved it. We'll talk more things that seem boring, but as a parent or an adult, or for me, sober, you really end up enjoying somehow, some way. 512-835-1015. That's where you can text us at the CJ Morgan, and we'll discuss more on the next Parent Pickup. And now the grand reveal of our Plinko board. It's been a minute since we've done some Plinko chip drops, but we're going to try to get back into it. And no easier way to do it now that Matt has lost. Matt, I added a few things to the Plinko board that are brand new. You'll notice there's the Lady Lord, the Dire Squire, the Winch Drench, and the Matt Splat. I will tell you two of those things involve you going to the Renaissance Festival with me. Oof. Mainly the Dire Squire, where you have to be my squire, and the Lady Lord, where you will be my fair lady throughout the fest.
Wait. Your punishment is like you have to eat a drop of hot sauce, and mine is I have to drive an hour away to a Renaissance fair and spend the day there?
Yours is you have to hang out with me. That's your punishment.
The show isn't enough for you, CJ?
Yeah.
Why don't you want to hang out with me, dude? What's up? What's wrong with me?
I do.
How did you take this craziness and turn it into your own craziness? we're insane in here. nobody's mentally healthy.
Well, because I know you won't want to go, Spencer. You'd be like, no, I don't feel like going today. And I know Matt, I can...
Guess what? I don't want to go either.
I know, but Matt, I can have my girlfriend text his wife and be like, hey, let's go to the Ren Fair, and then we're all going. So, Matt, drop some Plinko. You get a drop, too. We also, of course, have Hang 10, which is buy your way out. Flop a hot dog. Matt Splat is where we just drop different things on Matt that splat. Fairly simple.
So, like, oh, he's going.
There we go. First chip. Oh, go to Squire. Oh, it is.
Exactly
is just taking a raw egg, and it's right in time for Easter with your mouth, and moving it from one receptacle to another without breaking it. If the egg breaks, you have to drink the yolk. Let's drop the next Plinko chip, Matt.
I noticed that snort a line of ketamine still on there.
Yes, yeah, snort a line of ketamine still there.
Oh,
and
no.
The lady wench,
Lady Lord.
So you can vote at CJ Morgan Show. Let us know which one you want Matt to do. Exactly. We could knock that on the studio real quick. That's fine and all, but don't you want Matt to be my fine winch?
It feels like you were trying to lean the voters in a certain direction.
No, what size corset do you wear? Just wondering. Just ask, just in case. We need to get a corset for the show.
Sure.
Yeah. And Matt, my girlfriend won't wear one. Will you just wear a corset and come with me to the Ren Fair? And
oh,
just
man.
You have to talk in the voice too. I'm adding that.
Spencer, will you cut that out so I can just have it and I can play it at his funeral? It just goes, hey man, my girlfriend won't wear a corset. Will you wear one and just come to the fair with me?
With just no context.
No context.
Just completely taken out.
I just want to play it at your funeral.
You know, it'll be a sad day indeed when finally someone wears a corset and I'm not here to see it.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought you were going to say when I stop going to the Ren Fair, but I guess that's never happening, I'm not judging you.
All right, I'll make a deal with you, because that's a lot, that's a kind of a double punishment, going to the Ren Fair and wearing, dressing up like that. How about this?
How about just a corset at work?
Just a corset at work. Yeah, that seems simpler, because Squire is pretty much you just going to the Ren Fair and helping me with my armor.
Plus, you're getting paid to wear a corset. Kinda.
Yeah, what about that?
Work.
If either the egg punishment or you wear a corset to work.
It's
I got
stupid.
One at the house.
I would have gone to the Ren Fair with you. Yeah, I can't believe you backed out.
Oh, damn.
You think it goes through April and there's still plenty of more punishment chips to drop. Don't worry. It will happen. Vote anyhow. Should Matt be my lady lord or will he use his mouth to transport an egg across the studio? At CJ Morgan Show. Make your voice heard. Y'all have any experience traveling overseas? Because I'm planning a vacation. This year, maybe next.
Okay.
Going overseas.
Well, where are you thinking of going?
Well, I figured England would be a good start because
maybe less culture shock because
they speak English.
Right.
Kind of helps, even though.
Dude, you talk about Australia a lot and do the accent. Why aren't you considering Australia?
Because in Australia, they would not know where he's from if he used that accent.
Yeah, in Australia, you'll get. I feel like you'll get beaten up easier.
Oh man!
But at least if you get beaten up there, they'll be your buddy. If you get beaten up in England, they throw you in the Thames.
Yeah, no, Australia is just going to Texas. Is all it is.
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah, it really is. It's just Texas around. By water.
It's also too long of a flight. I really have trouble sitting on an airplane for a long time.
Okay, and well, then you overseas know these is are, a great place for you.
I know.
It's like 6 hours.
With what I can afford to fly there. But yeah. I think Southwest fly to England?
No, it does not.
Dang, man. It's Chicago's as far as I can get.
So I've never been overseas. Have you, Matt? Like, I don't know what to tell you, I guess.
I've been to a lot of places in Europe. That's probably where you're talking about right now when you say overseas.
Sure. I'm straight up saying England. That's where I'm probably going to go. And Scotland.
Okay. So just chunks of the UK. That's great. That's a good place to start. I will tell you there's also other places to go.
You heard of Ireland?
That you might enjoy even more.
Ireland.
Ireland's fantastic. And direct flights to Ireland, Aer Lingus is a really great airline and makes you feel very fancy.
Okay, well, let me add this to part of the trip plan because this is where I partially am really excited, but then I'm also kind of nervous because I don't think this is what tourists do or should do. My girlfriend and I are both big road trippers, and we talked about flying in, staying in London, renting a car, driving to like Manchester, Liverpool, and then driving up to Glasgow and then like Edinburgh. But a few people have been like, when I've just looked online, are like, no, take the train. But well, can two Americans just road trip around England and Scotland? Dude,
you can.
What's the UK like for that?
People are saying take the train because it's A, much more convenient.
Faster.
B, cheaper. C, you get to just sit there looking out the window and seeing the countryside, which is a whole lot of what it's about.
And there's bathrooms on the train, right?
The thing is you're not used to incredible public transportation, but when you get to a place where that's what they rely on, you realize that having a car is the dumbest thing in the world. The amount of money we spend on cars and to insure cars.
They
don't need it.
Which also makes me think that doing a road trip is not going to be as conducive because there's in Texas every 30 miles, even when you're out in West Texas, there's going to be a Buc-ee's or a rest stop or gas or something. Plus, they drive on the wrong side of the road.
I did a trip once where I drove from London down into the south of England, then took a ferry over to the Hague, Hoek of Holland, and then went down through a little bit through the Netherlands there, Belgium, Germany, Austria, France, I think. And that was a road trip. And that was kind of fun driving around. But I will say, might have been better off just taking the train. And I've done another trip before where I just took the train everywhere that I went.
Okay.
And it was a blast.
And it is a little more affordable to do that.
If you're looking for affordability, too, one of the great things you can do is you can sleep on the train at night. And that's a free hotel.
Oh, good call. Because I was going to say, you know, obviously going overseas ain't cheap. And I was like, well, you get to a point in your age and life where you don't want to do certain things, especially with travel. And I'm like, well, we could stay at youth hostels, but there's a key word in youth two words, yes. Youth and hostel.
Yes.
Both don't sound good.
Can I say that with
money? Or Jugendherberge.
I would like to say that with the money that your fiance is bringing in these days, she's not going to smile at a hostel.
Okay. Yeah, maybe not a good idea.
Oh, man.
You don't get to travel a whole lot. It's really worthwhile, especially if you're planning on doing next year. Why wouldn't you just start saving right now, putting lots of money away, and then burn it? Have a blast burning money in a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, like going overseas and traveling. Have fun with it.
Burning pounds over there. Next question. Do I bring my drugs, or can I get some over there?
Can I say that I highly recommend that you do not bring drugs through an international checkpoint at any point in your life.
That does sound like a good idea.
There are plenty
of television shows about that. I don't know what drug I would need that bad where I'm like,
if you need drugs and you're in Europe, do you know where you go?
Some guy that's like talking like this that raps in Manchester.
You go to the youth hostel.
I don't stay there.
Yeah.
I just go there for that. Well, if you have travel tips, I'd love to know them because this is, I'm nervous. Very nervous.
You're not even sure if you're doing it. Why are you nervous? Yeah, you're saying, fine. I think in a year I might want to go on a trip. And you're nervous?
Well, maybe this summer. I'm scaring my way out of it right now. I'm just going to stay at home and, you know, watch Snatch or something. That's kind of like being in England, right?
I can tell you that you, knowing you, I think you might actually prefer Ireland over England.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. You're sober?
Yeah,
don't actually go to England or Ireland
or Germany or France. Netherlands.
The Italians actually don't drink that much. Well, they drink a lot of wine.
Netherlands.
Hey, stay at home. You're right. Okay. Stay at home.
Austin's getting rich. We have the most millionaires. Did I just make that up? Who wants to be millionaires? Come into Austin. Is that the headline?
Yeah, basically the headline is Austin's named the fastest growing millionaire hub in the U.S.
Now, back when I was doing a lot of events and bartending and had just moved to Austin, I remember every dude on like West 6 was like a CEO of something.
Well, yeah. I mean, I remember there was a time when every guy I ever met at a bar was the head of his own startup. In order to be the head of a startup, all you had to do is say, I'm the head of a startup.
That's all you have to do.
You don't have to prove that.
Yeah. But now it's actually, there's some truth to it. There are actually people here making money.
There are people here making money. In fact, if you want the exact number, do you want to guess how many millionaires we have in the Austin area?
Is this a percentage?
I'm sorry.
Or?
I just call it the area, and that's not what it is at all. It's the area.
How many millionaire areolas? That's a lot of rich nipples. I'm going to say...
Technically not the nipple.
I think it's exactly 30. That's my guess.
30 millionaires?
Yeah, pulling it out of the air.
I'll say 600.
600 millionaires?
Yeah, might as well go to the opposite
direction. Neither of you are really close. It's 33,000 millionaires in the Austin area.
That's a lot. That's a big...
You were slightly off with the 600 count.
Yeah. I was not going to guess that. Holy crap.
Yeah, 33,000 millionaires in the Austin area.
Is this because more people are moving to Austin and Texas specifically because we don't have a state income tax, even though you're kind of getting taxed in other ways? It's still expensive, property tax, blah, blah, blah. Or are we actually making people money here? Can I make money in Austin?
Well, here's a thing to remember, too. The equity you have in your house counts toward your overall net wealth.
All right.
And for a lot of people,
property's worth a lot.
A lot of people eventually bought a house that was worth maybe $500,000. They paid on it over the years. Maybe they had it paid almost all the way down, so they really only owe $100,000 left on the house. And that more than doubled over the last 5 or 6 years. And technically, then speaking, they would have like $1 million in assets just in their house. Now, that doesn't mean they're living like a millionaire. A lot of those people are also driving a Honda Civic because that's what they can afford to drive. But technically speaking, they are millionaires.
Even a million, affordable. Not that much anymore. I read somewhere that they're calling people that upper middle class is $1 million a year income. I'm like, what? The inflation's not that bad.
I think it's several hundred thousand, though.
I think it's one of those out-of-touch articles that are like, probably. This is what millennials should be making.
Yeah, I think.
Don't eat avocado toast and skip coffee.
Yeah, you're still firmly ensconced in the middle class. In Austin, I think, it's the cutoffs around 70,000 somewhere at the beginning and then above that.
So we're all poor.
No, we're not. I don't think we're necessarily all poor. I will say this. This is a hard town to get ahead in a way that it didn't used to be. Austin wasn't as expensive before, and a lot of people moved to Austin because it was a cheaper city. People left Houston. People left Dallas, and they came to Austin because it was a more affordable city.
Yeah,
now, it's a fun place that people want to be, and they're like, I don't understand why it's so hard to get ahead here. It's like because... Well, a lot of people that moved here before moved here purposely because it was a cheaper city. You should do what those people did and go find a city and move to a cheaper city and create another fun town Austin.
Victoria, Texas. Close to the water.
Maybe
that's the
next
boom town.
Maybe that's the next
boom
town.
There is a college there. Victoria Junior College. I think so. Anyhow, one of the frustrating things I've noticed about Austin throughout its path that kind of started in the late 90s is you had a lot of booms here. You know, you had a couple tech booms. You've had real estate booms. The thing is
those had a ton of busts. Don't forget about
those.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. The thing is those led to a lot of busts.
I'm bust.
But what's unfortunate about it is people who were able to bought up the remainder and made more money. Like whenever we were building heavily in Austin downtown, you had a bunch of empty properties in like 2008, 9, 10. And they were cheaply sold and bought, some were foreclosed, and you had small amounts of already wealthy people now becoming mega wealthy. What I want to know is, are these millionaires that are becoming millionaires while living in Austin and making it here? Like, are there people, are there business? Can someone give me money?
If you want to know if somebody can give you money, I don't know the answer to that. I will say that I had this discussion with a lot of my friends who are like, but it just seems like the resources are limited here. And I'm like, limited resources is how you kind of can get wealthy. And also, I would suggest if you're younger and you don't have a great job here, and you've got skills and you've got desire, find the next boomtown and go be one of those people who gets to be who gets to live in all the jack.
Yes, you know where you please, can make, drive our costs down. Go leave.
You know where you can make some money.
I was going to say, CJ, if you're willing to sell that body, I know some people that might be interested in.
Oh, that's right. The black market for livers, kidneys. Ears, all that. I just start coming in with oozing bandages every day.
Like, what's wrong, dude? You're like, smelting accident. Now, yeah, smelting accident.
Last thing, Matt. Can we go on the old school tried and true way of making money in Austin, which is by doing a pharmaceutical study or donating plasma? That's how I think most of us that moved here made money early on.
It used to be how you could get by, but also, I mean, I used to pay $250 for rent in those days. Oof. Long gone.
Say it ain't so. Hey, that's a nice transition to something happier if you're broke like me. Weezer tickets for free. They're doing the Blue Album in full. Details 101x.com, September 27th at the Moody Center. Text me the keyword blue to 512-835-1015. We'll set one of you up with those Weezer tickets. Make this story a little bit better, right? The greatest comedy movies of all time.
The internet has never been so easy.
Welcome to the internet. We're going to flip through a little bit of clickbait here at our old clickbait corner so you don't have to click the crap and get the ads and put a virus on your computer. Whatever that is, we've got a list here. Ranker did their 2024 list of the greatest comedies of all time.
Okay.
And what I enjoy about doing this list with you, Matt, is a lot of these you either dislike immensely or you've never even seen.
Yeah, I'm going to imagine that things, there's probably like those... I don't know, the comedies that people talk a lot about. One of them, like a Caddyshack, gets brought up a lot. I've never seen Caddyshack. American Pie.
And the problem with it is, when I've seen some of those movies, it was a time and a place, so it worked for me then.
Right.
Going back and watching, it's not as funny. When I was a kid, my dad would put a Leslie Nielsen movie on, and it was the greatest thing ever because I was a kid. Sometimes they don't hold up. I don't know. And when you do go back and watch it, for me, it'll bring nostalgia. But if I told Matt, go watch Caddyshack, I'm going to get all these nostalgic feelings. Matt's going to be like, oh, that's just dumb and awkward.
Bill Murray, ugh.
They just crammed Rodney Dangerfield in there to do...
Hey, I don't hate on those movies. I don't. I just haven't seen them. Let's get into it.
Let's start at number 20 and work our way all the way through. Again, Ranker just did this list of the greatest comedy movies of all time. Starting with Animal House, 1978.
Oh, yeah.
I like it because I thought that's what college was going to be.
That was the breakthrough movie for National Lampoon.
But it kind of sort of holds up, but it's also kind of...
Explains who you were in college, though, because you did try to do that. You thought college was supposed to be out of control.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Dude, that was... when I was young, I idolized two people I probably shouldn't have, mainly Chris Farley.
G.G. Allen?
Also, dude. But Belushi, too. And I just thought that movie was so fun, funny, and great. And it's doesn't hold up quite as much. There's a lot of bad stuff in it. You know what this list will just be? They couldn't make that movie these days.
Well,
they could. Sure, they could. They do.
Yeah, it's just not one that sings to me.
Number 19, and we'll get to one that does sing a lot, Shaun of the Dead. I'm all for it. I like those movies. They're an easy one for me to watch during Halloween just because they are dumb and fun, but there's that British kind of...
Sure, cheeky and deadpan at times.
Yeah.
But there's also I like that it was a hybrid of a rom-com and a zombie film.
Yeah.
Trying to merge that hybrid the same way that Hot Fuzz did a little bit, too.
Well, Hot Fuzz I would rank higher.
I like that one way better.
Number 18, The Blues Brothers. Didn't like it. I don't like musicals. I don't like singing in movies.
Or SNL films.
Some of them are all right, but that one just... It didn't... People love it, and I was just like, Yeah.
Yeah, let them love it. Like Night at the Roxbury.
Number 17, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I don't see that as a comedy. That's kind of a...
I like that movie, though.
I it's do, a good, too, I like but
it.
It's...
What is it, a drama to you?
It's a coming-of-age kind
it hold
of thing.
Up? I haven't seen it since I was a kid, you know what I mean? Like, I saw it with some friends in junior high. I think we rented the DVD or something.
It's like watching that movie Juno. You're like, no one talks like this. No teenagers talk like this. But that's every movie
I'm okay
to a degree.
With that. Yeah.
It can be fun, especially because he breaks the fourth wall. It's a comedy.
Rewatching it might... be interesting.
I think the reason it holds up is because it's a little bit more than that. It's breaks the fourth wall.
I'd love to rewatch it again.
And didn't they re-edit it to make it less depressing?
Oh, they
like,
did?
Isn't that the whole thing? Yeah, they did it before test audiences because it was supposed to be kind of darker, I guess.
Wait, right? I don't know, man.
It wasn't. Number 16, Coming to America. Famous sure. Eddie Murphy film. Not bad.
I barely remember that movie, but I think I loved it when I was younger.
I mean, what made that one so good was it had so many quotable moments and catchphrases.
Well, so many good actors. I feel like the first two, after like maybe a halfway point is where it loses me. I don't know, but it's fun.
I hate getting rooked in these conversations sometimes because I don't want to come off as the person who's like, oh, that's just below me. That's not how I am at all. I just have a crippling ADD and it's hard for me to watch a movie without drifting out of it.
Yeah. Number 15, this movie was my middle school because it's probably there for a middle school boy. I loved it. Happy Gilmore. One of my...
Oh, that's absurd. I loved it,
absolutely.
Too. It's just so dumb.
Still quotable to this day, some of the moments.
I saw that one before Billy Madison, so that's the one that his quote, earlier works of Sandler that really did it for me. Plus, come on, man.
Just the fighting Bob Barker scene and the way it goes on too long.
Yeah.
Number 14, Spaceballs. Also one of those over-the-top comedies that I just didn't, even as a kid, I was like, meh. Well,
Guess what doesn't hold up? I mean, I don't know if it was funny when it came out, but I tried to watch that maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I was like, oh, I heard this was kind of... It was terrible.
Really?
Just absolutely horrendous.
My problem is I'm not... I don't like the shtick of parodying other movies. Yeah. It just doesn't work for me. But we'll have a lot more. There's a whole ass list in front of here that we got to get to, and it's got a few of my favorites and a few that I'm really rolling my eyes at. We'll talk more on the internet tomorrow. The greatest comedy movies of all time, ranked by Ranker, which technically means it was ranked by you.
Hey, let's get your conspiracy theories in line.
Greetings, listener. It is now time for Weird or Wired.
Is it weird? Is it wired? Conspiracy theories. You gotta love them. They used to be fun. They are... not fun anymore.
Actually, they're back to fun this week.
And
I'll explain
why.
Okay. You mentioned it yesterday that you were already seeing them start to peak up. And guess what? They came out in full effect last night. What am I talking about? Conspiracy theories about the Baltimore Bridge collapse.
Yeah, tragically, a cargo ship hit the bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It collapsed. There were a few cars, construction workers on it.
I believe there's 6 casualties, perhaps, that I've seen.
And already, like, as it happened, the conspiracies were popping. And the thing is, like, you should just question. You got to question everything.
Yep.
Sure, yeah. But questioning with just... they're not just questioning, they're pointing to... it's pointed questions speculating something specific. That's not questioning everything. Anyhow, let's get to some of the conspiracies.
One conspiracy theorist out there has proven that the bridge collapse was a Ukrainian plot against America.
Of course.
Didn't really explain why, but the reasoning was they found a ship's manifest. Some of the people working on the ship, they pointed out that one gentleman who's from India was being paid $1,600 US per month to be... to work in the oil room, basically to pour oil into...
on the captain's back and rub him.
No. Into the giant furnaces. Into the giant furnaces that then power the motors. Then another person was being paid $10,000 a month. He's from Ukraine. And, of course, he's a master. He's a ship's master, which means he's... essentially in charge of the ship.
So that
right.
So those are both positions.
So the guy that said, hey, mayday, mayday, alert all the crew, our power is out, and we're going to collide with this bridge, most likely, and help potentially save lives? That was him? That guy?
I don't know what point you're trying to prove, but this is the truth. This is new truth because it's on the internet.
Okay.
I don't know what you're trying to do.
All right, so no plot idea. Number one, Ukraine, mad at us. Take out that bridge.
Another one is that the ship itself was hacked.
Oh!
Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is a member of the House of Representatives, pointed out that this might be an intentional attack or maybe not an accident. She said people should be looking into it. And she said she wants an she wants an investigation. She retweeted an account, MJ Truth Ultra, which insists that the ship was hacked. They didn't exactly say why they thought the ship was hacked. They just said they think that they have evidence. They didn't post what the evidence was, just that it might be an attack.
But this is the type of thing that when it happens is going to be investigated anyway.
Yeah, and
it
that
destroyed
doesn't mean
a bridge.
That doesn't mean you shouldn't stay vigilant and follow up and question the investigation, but to beforehand start speculating, it's just asinine.
I don't know why you guys are being so doubtful. Man. Why aren't you trying to, you guys don't want to do any research whatsoever?
I know exactly what it is.
If we didn't know, if you think that the same person, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who brought to our attention the fact that there were Jewish space lasers burning the world, you don't think that, I mean, aren't you glad she's pointing this out to us?
Yeah, and anytime you're like, well, that didn't happen, did it? And they're like, yeah, because I talked about it and we prevented it.
My favorite theory that's come out so far, it started by a guy named Jimmy Corsetti, Bright Insight on Twitter. He wrote, oh my God, this can't be a coincidence. The ship that crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore was headed to Sri Lanka. The flag of Sri Lanka is a lion. The ship in the opening scene of Barack Obama's Leave the World Behind is named White Lion. What I like is that he was like, this can't be a coincidence, except... This is literally what the definition of coincidence is.
Yeah, man, Disney made a movie called Lion King. What does that have to do with Disney? Maybe we should investigate Disney again.
I think I know what it is. It's quite simple. Sleepy Joe Byron, he's so sleepy because he's always out late doing bad stuff. He drove that ship into the bridge to cover up his failing border policies.
Right, hopped up on ice cream, I hear.
Yeah.
I love
that people are like, it's the crumbling, terrible infrastructure of America. And I'm like, yes, you're right. There is... crumbling, terrible infrastructure of America, but you're invalidating and making less of an actual case, something that we should talk about when you're saying a bridge is bad infrastructure, not a mega cargo ship that rammed into it, made it collapse. I don't know, man. I get frustrated with conspiracy theorists because it's kind of that thing where you have a few truths in it. You talk about how there was COINTELPRO and they were spying on American college students and making them fight against each other, and they infiltrated the black... All this stuff happened. It's all true. But when you, like, have little truths that are proven with a bunch of lies or speculation in between, and then you get enough people to believe it, it's frustrating.
I don't know why you're trying to take the fun out of this, CJ, with being real. Come on, man.
CJ's filter of truth has been activated. That's why.
Maybe
it's get to the bottom.
Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's because they got me.
We won't even take the time to go through the explosive charges that were planted all along the bridge.
Oh, that's
for another segment, my friend.
Did you know? David Bowie's life was in danger. Yeah, did you know that Mark David Chapman, the person who assassinated John Lennon, had next on his list David Bowie? That phony.
It's a really good opportunity and a really good time to be less popular than one of the other people you're competing against in an industry.
I very much guess
so. I mean?
Yeah, it's the only time that you wouldn't want to be like, man, how did John Lennon write those songs?
Yeah, you're
like, I wish I could be him.
I'm glad he was number one and I was number two.
Now, Hinckley was the one that shot Reagan, right?
Yes.
One of the two.
He wanted Jodie Foster's.
It's something weird.
It was for Jodie Foster.
One of them, man, I thought it was Chapman, but now I think it's Hinckley that is out of jail and trying to like be a singer-songwriter. But when people realize who he is, they don't. Maybe I should Google that. That's not a did you know. Did you knows are fact and truth, not speculation.
Both of them are singer-songwriters, but I know that Hinckley was in and out of jail, you know, because he was not well. Both of them actually were. Neither of them really went to jail. They both went to a brain lockup because neither of them were well. But he's been going to see his mother for a very long time on weekends, and he is a bit of a singer-songwriter.
Well, I bet he's got the tunes to do it.
Yeah, did you know?
Did we know? Yeah. Wow, that was a dark, sad, did you know? Let's do some happy, light, did you know? Starting with you, Matt, what do you know?
Well, let's go to Spencer.
Did you know?
Spencer's always got a good one.
This is a pretty good one. Kaiser Wilhelm II. When Nazi troops conquered Paris, the Kaiser, who was then living in exile, sent Hitler a telegram saying, congratulations, You've won using my troops.
Dang, what a burn. I think the Kaiser famously did not like Hitler, but did love wiener dogs.
I have a... Is Germany just really into mustaches? Because this dude's mustache is wild, too.
I think it was just the time period. Everybody was
Yeah, Europeans love it. If you were in the military, I guess the Prussians love their mustaches.
It's a big mustache, and then it like curves up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that was the Prussian style of the time. Remember, the British had the cool, like, thin RAF pilot mustache.
Yeah, but then Hitler comes along. He's like, I'm barely going to try.
He has the chaplain mustache.
Yeah,
and
you realize in the future, people will go, hey, did guys in Texas really love scarves in the summertime, and we'll just like say no, it was just a weird hipster phenomenon that happened.
Yeah.
Hey, did you know Judd Apatow, the famous movie director, he was watching the movie True Romance? You guys familiar with True Romance, right? There's that beloved stoner character Floyd in there, played by Brad Pitt. He makes a little bong out of a honey bear, you know? Well, anyway, he was watching it, probably stoned, and he started thinking about Brad Pitt finally leaving the apartment and getting chased by bad guys and just running through that thought. Well, guess what? That thought ended up becoming a movie called Pineapple Express.
Pineapple Express. Yeah, that whole just because it's so sloppy, funny, stony, kind of slapstick, I guess is the perfect word for it.
Stoner action like film, essentially. It's kind of cool.
Kind of sorted. Gary Oldman was the bad guy with dreadlocks in that, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, Gary Oldman's so scary in that.
He's a good
actor. I feel like because I know those dudes. Like if growing up in small town Texas, if you had to go to your drug dealer buddy's house and he would always make you wait and hang out, there was always like that Gary Oldman kind of character guy there. And that guy scared you. You did not want to be around him.
Yeah, the guy that didn't understand boundaries or limits? Yeah, he's scary, all right.
And probably carries a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do not like that guy. Did you know that? Let's do some more fun facts that aren't involving scary drug guys, assassins, or Nazi Germany. Let's try to stay away from that. And let's talk drugs.
Woo!
Did you know the reason medicine bottles are orange or light brown? Same reason why some beer tastes different.
That's what I thought.
Because light. The light, ultraviolet light. That's why if you get a, did you know, like some green beer bottles are known, Beck's, Heineken maybe are known for kind of that skunky flavor.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the brown and orange, prevent the light and sun from coming in. Keep it nice and fresh. Fresh pills.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm did you know?
It. Funny, random, weird. The CJ Morgan Show. 101X.